me why I believe like I do, why I'm so convinced that the Bible is true. I'm here to tell you it's only because I've been through enough to see what faith does. Faith sees the invisible, believes the impossible, receives the incredible, no matter what it was. Faith moves the unmovable, proves the unprovable for anyone willing to trust. Believe and you'll see what faith does.
Good morning. We are the tour group from Pacific Baptist Bible College. My name is Seth Rawl, and I'm a recent graduate with a degree in pastoral theology.
Hi, my name is Kristen Ross, and I graduated with an education degree.
Hi, my name is Priscilla Campa. I am a junior studying education.
Hi, my name is Scott Garzone. I'm a senior going to be graduating this fall. At the piano, we have Aaron Martinez, who will also be graduating this coming fall.
Faith sees the invisible, believes the impossible, receives the incredible, no matter what it was. Faith moves the unmovable, proves the unprovable for anyone willing to trust. Believe and you'll see what faith does. If there's a mountain that stands in your way, from all you can see it will be there to stay. God said with the faith of a small mustard seed, that mountain will move. Believe and you'll see. Believes the impossible, receives the incredible, no matter what it was. Faith moves the unmovable, proves the unprovable for anyone willing to trust. Believe and you'll see what faith does. Faith sees the invisible, believes the impossible, receives the incredible, no matter what it was. Faith moves the unmovable, proves the unprovable for anyone willing to trust. Believe and you'll see what faith does. Believe and you'll see what faith does.
Just in the thought that I am justified,
I feel freedom, freedom from these chains that had bound my soul to the grave.
But praise God,
ever since that I have reached, the weight laid on me, the cross lifted up, they are gone, hallelujah, I'm free, my sins are gone.
How can I tell you what happened inside the day my soul was redeemed? My ship, it was sinking all on its own, anchored in uncertain seas. But my Jesus, he reached out his hand and he lifted my burden of sin.
Savior did.
cross lifted up. They are gone, hallelujah, I'm free. My sins are gone.
All my guilty deeds,
sin's curse on me.
On me,
my sins are gone.
Those chains, they are gone. I'm moving on. New heights I have reached. The way laid on me. Cross lifted up, they are gone. Hallelujah, I'm free. My sins are gone.
Those chains, they are gone.
I'm moving on. New heights I have reached.
The weight laid on me.
My people, my age people. No. Man, that's what older people say. Anyway, just that weight that was lifted in the song just came back down, crushing on my soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. Song number 298. Midlife. Song number 298. Now I belong to Jesus this morning. As you find that, please stand your feet. As we sing, Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever this morning. Song number 298, you're singing well this morning. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Once I was lost in sin's degradation, Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood, he now him. Now I belong.
Jesus belongs.
Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Good singing. You may be seated.
Time, he holds the world in his hand.
from heaven sees where you are, arranging your life in his plan,
preparing you now, unfolding the way to all your tomorrows and whatever you face. He's already in your tomorrow. He's walking one step ahead. Whether it's joy or it's sorrow, he'll do just what he said. He'll never leave you lonely in the land of the great unknown. He's already in your tomorrow. Don't be afraid to keep pressing on.
Often you struggle looking ahead, dreading tomorrow it seems. Embracing the present, forgetting the past, giving up on your dreams.
You're standing between your faith and your fear, yet no matter the conflict, the future is clear. He's already in your tomorrow. He's walking one step ahead. Whether it's joy or it's sorrow, he'll do just what he said. He'll never leave you lonely in the land of the great unknown. He's already in your tomorrow. Don't be afraid to keep pressing on. He's already in your tomorrow. He's walking one step ahead. Whether it's joy or in sorrow, he'll do just what he said. He'll never leave you lonely in the land of the great unknown. He's already in your tomorrow. Don't be afraid to keep pressing on. He's already in your tomorrow.
That singing, don't you? Amen. Looking forward. God is working young people's lives. We need more people in the ministry, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. If you take your Bibles with me and then stand to your feet when you find 2 Peter in chapter 3. 2 Peter in chapter 3 this morning. When you find that in your Bibles, if you're able to, if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word. When you get to 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to look down at verse 8. And I'll read verses 8 through 10 out loud. You read there silently in your copy of God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 3 and then verse number 8. All right, if you found it there, look down with me, verse 8, and I'll begin reading. The Bible says this, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Our Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the singing. Lord, we're grateful for the preaching that is to come. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house with your people. I ask now that you would help us to Lord, quiet our minds and anything else going on in the service. Lord, help us to focus in on the preaching of your word. Lord, may you use it to pierce us, reveal things in our lives, and help us to change those things to become more like you. Be with Pastor Becker. Give him wisdom. Lord, fill him with your spirit, with your power. We'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you would take a moment and make sure your cell phone is turned off or silent, that would be helpful. And we'll stay still for a few moments if you would. If you have to leave for a medical reason or so, that'd be fine, of course. But I wanted to make sure we take some time to look at the Word of God this morning. Thank you, young people, for singing this morning, for Aaron for playing, and appreciate Brother Mr. Ross for being here. Brother Ross is going to be preaching tonight for us. The group will be singing for us tonight. And so I want to encourage you to come back 6 o'clock for the evening service and be here this evening. And as you look in your Bibles, I want to look again at this scripture verse in verse number 9. I want to focus on this verse here for a moment. The Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. If God makes a promise, he will come true with his promises. Amen? You can count on it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Aren't you thankful for the long-suffering of the Lord? The mercy of God that we don't deserve, the Bible says, that is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord placed his message on my heart this week. I've just been dwelling on this thought of this word of repentance. Not a word that you hear preached a whole lot. It will probably not be the theme of many church services today. Many churches today is more of a feel-good and kind of pat you on the back and tell you that you're good and send you home. But that's not exactly how God approaches us from the Word of God. And as we look at the Word of God, the Bible says that he is not does not count slackness, but he is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to ask for your attention this morning. I don't intend to tell any jokes or any funny stories, and I don't usually intend to do those anyway, because when you try to push the funny card, it doesn't come across that way anyway, but not trying to add humor to the Word of God, if you will. But I want to ask for your attention today for a somber and a very serious topic about the subject of repentance. Repentance is it involves a turning with contrition from sin to God. The repentant sinner is in the proper condition to accept the divine forgiveness. A simple definition from the word of repentance would be a change of mind. I remember as a boy not knowing the Lord, and where God got a hold of my heart. Showed me that I was a sinner on my way to hell. And God showed me that I needed to repent and to turn from my sinful condition, turning to the Lord, not changing my life, but putting my faith in him. And I turned and said, God, I need you. I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my only way to heaven, and I turned from going my own way on my way to hell, and I turned to the Savior, my only hope, and your only hope today, the only way to heaven, Jesus Christ. And it's changing my way, changing my mind, turning to the Lord by faith. Some would try to say that this word of repentance is in some way of earning salvation of good works. Getting saved has nothing to do with any good works. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This word of repentance has nothing to do with turning your life around to be acceptable in the sight of God to be saved. God will never accept us in our sinful condition without by faith turning to him and asking for forgiveness for our sin. That is true repentance. The Bible uses many different references in the Word of God to repentance. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." This is part of that day of Pentecost, the preaching of Peter. And he told them to repent, to turn of their ways. Why? Because they were going the wrong direction. I don't know about you, but you look around this world and see people that are going the wrong direction. Away from the Lord, don't know the Lord. Most importantly, don't know the Lord as their Savior. Without repentance, there is no hope. Without turning to Christ for salvation, there is no hope. There is no eternal life. It's eternal damnation in a place called hell. And Peter called out to them and said, "Repent." And many did get saved that day. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. In Luke chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "And I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." The Bible says in Matthew 4:17, "For that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent. To turn your life from going the wrong direction on your way to hell and turning to Him for salvation. Do you know Him today? Not know about Him. Do you know Him today? Is He your Savior? Could you chance your eternity? Not chance, but do you know where you spend your eternity? Many people have a hope-so salvation, a think-so salvation, or I'm working on it kind of salvation. None of those will get you to heaven. That's not repentance. That's all doing it our own way. Repentance saying, God, I can't do it on my own, and I turn to You. The only hope, the only way of heaven. Do you know Him today? If today was the last day the Lord gave you, do you know where you will spend eternity? The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. There's an appointed day that no one knows but God. One day will be your last chance. One day will be your last opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If I could beg you to be saved, I would. If I could force you to be saved, I would. If I could plead with you today, I would. I can't do it. Only God can, working on your heart. But you must turn to Christ to receive salvation, to repent. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. We have such a loving God. Many people think, well, why would a loving God ever send someone to hell? A loving God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for our sins that we don't deserve. He's long-suffering, the Bible says, not willing that any should perish. Not a single person that God would find any joy and pleasure in sending them to hell for all eternity. Repentance, number one, is this. Repentance is understanding your depravity. Repentance is understanding your and my sin nature. See, the world and people and yourself, you want to even say, well, man is inherently good. Well, you look around and you realize that man is not good. Man is a sinner by nature. The world wants to say, well, people are actually good. And we try to convince ourselves that we're good and that somehow if our good outweighs our bad someday, that God will allow us into heaven. That's one of the greatest lies of the devil, to think that somehow you can do enough good to outweigh your bad. First of all, even if that was true, we would all fall short. Because the Bible says if you're guilty of one point of the law, you're guilty of all. If you've broken the law in one point, you're guilty of the whole law. And all of the law condemns us to a place called hell. The Bible says that we have a depraved nature, a sinful nature. We try to convince ourselves that we're good and try to work our way into God's favor. I want to read you a number of scripture verses today. I want you just to listen, if you would. In Psalms 51:5, it says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Understand first that we are born as sinners. You don't have to teach a child how to sin. No one has to go to the nursery and teach a child how to bite or kick or pull or whatever they do. We are sinners by nature. We are born as sinners. The Bible says, as one man sinned, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We are sinners by nature. We're born in that sinful condition. Understand this, that we are born sinners, but we're all sinners. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Think about that. You're not that one, and neither am I. There is none righteous, the Bible says, and no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that we're born sinners, but that we're all sinners. We're all in a level playing field as sinners. We all have the same condition, the Bible says, and we're all guilty. None of us are good enough to go to heaven. The Bible says in a book of Ecclesiastes, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Not a single person. The only one to ever walk on this earth that was perfect is Jesus Christ, God the Son and the Son of God. The only one, not a single other person. You can't try to convince yourself or anyone else otherwise, because we are all sinners. The Bible says in the book of 1 John that if we say that we are not sinners, that we are liars. The Bible says if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. To say that I'm not a sinner, that I've never done wrong, is to look in the face of God and say, God, you're a liar. How foolish would that be to say that? That we are not good enough to go to heaven, that we're all sinners, sinners by nature. The Bible says we're guilty. James 2:10, I quoted already, for whosoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. That although we're sinners and born as sinners by nature, we're guilty of all. And we'll say guilty of what? We'll get to that point here in a moment. We're guilty. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse number 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're guilty. You understand our condition today, church? We're guilty. We're sinners by nature. We're at a place where there's no way I can dig myself out of this hole. I can't work my way out of this problem that I've gotten myself into. I need help. I need a Savior. I need someone to help me. We're also not only sinners and guilty, but we pass that nature on. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It's hereditary. It's passed on, our sin nature, from us to others. We all have the same condition. So number one, for repentance, do you see yourself as God sees you? You say, no, I'm really good, and I think God's going to accept me. Why should you be the exception? Why should your way be the exception? Why should my way be the exception? There are no exceptions to get into heaven. No one's going to get there any other way but by Jesus Christ. And I must realize I can't get there on my own. I'm not good enough. See yourself as God sees you. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No matter how hard I try, I can't get there on my own, and neither can you, and neither can anyone else. Many religions want to teach people, if you go to church, you can work your way to heaven. If you give enough money, you can work your way to heaven. If you do enough good deeds, you can work your way to heaven. But that's not what God and His Word says. Repentance is, first of all, realizing I'm going the wrong direction. I'm lost. Number two, realizing this, repentance is understanding your damnation. The damnation we deserve is punishment in a place called hell. In Mark chapter number 3, verse 28, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies, wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. You say no to the Holy Ghost. You say no to the conviction of God for your salvation. And you say no to God, I can do it my own way. The Bible says that there is eternal damnation, punishment, separation from God. That word of damnation literally means separation and judgment from God. The Bible says that this is the second death. The wages of sin is death. Separation from God, not for a day, not for a month, not for a year, not for 1,000 years, not for 1,000,000 years. Should I go any further? It's forever. And forever and forever. I can't comprehend forever. I can't imagine time with no end. But I also could not imagine that waking up in a lake of fire and thinking it's forever. And there's no end, and there's no reprieve, and there's no hope, and there's no joy, there's no light forever. The Bible calls this the second death. The Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Repentance is understanding our judgment that we deserve. The judgment that I deserve. The judgment that everyone that has sinned, which is all of us that we already learned, that's the punishment that we deserve. Do you know the Lord today? It's not a joke. And it's not a game. It's eternity in heaven or hell for all eternity. I think of the rich man in the book of Luke in chapter 16. And he was in hell and he lifted up his eyes being in torments. And he said, Abraham, would you send someone to my brothers? Would you tell them, I don't want him to come here? If it was a good place, why wouldn't he want his brothers to come there to be with him? But he said, tell them not to come here. And he said, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the word of God. And he said, but even if one went from the dead, they will not repent. There is judgment from God. There's that white throne judgment where the dead are brought before the Lord. The book of life is open. The Bible says that those whose names were not found written in the Lamb's book of life are cast into the lake of fire. Eternal damnation and eternal judgment. I can imagine saying, wait, can I have one more chance? Please, I was thinking about it. I was praying about it. I heard it. I wasn't sure I was going to make the decision someday, but it's too late. There's eternal damnation. There's eternal separation from God. I think of heaven on the other side, how wonderful heaven will be someday. The streets of gold and the gates of pearl and the crystal river and all that God has, a mansion prepared for you, but to be with the Savior for all eternity. To be with Jesus, to see his face, to see the nail prints in his hands and in his feet and his side, and to think what the Savior went through and wants to be with you for all eternity. And I can't imagine being in heaven and getting to see our Savior. Of all the beauties that heaven has, there's nothing more beautiful than the sight of our Savior. There's nothing more wonderful than getting to be with Jesus for all eternity. But on the opposite side, hell is without God. As terrible as hell is with the flames, the punishment, the separation, the darkness, but to be apart from God for all eternity. Separation. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1:8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Separation from God for all eternity. The damnation, the destruction, the judgment that we deserve for our sin. But I want to turn this around now. This repentance of realizing I'm going the wrong direction. And I have the wrong eternity. But realizing that repentance is understanding that you have a decision to make. Think about that. You have a decision to make, and everyone has the same decision. Everyone has the same decision, and it's what will you do with the Savior? What will you do with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the love that Jesus poured out when he died on the cross to pay for your sins and mine? You say, if Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, then aren't we all saved? No, the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says salvation's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift is offered, but it must be received. It's offered in Jesus Christ on the cross. He had his arms spread out open wide and says the gift is for all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But you must receive the Savior. See, God gave us a free will. A free will and a choice. You can say yes to God or you can say no to God. It's your choice. But it's a decision that you'll make. And it's a decision that you and I will live with for all eternity. For all eternity. Salvation is a choice. God will not force anyone into heaven. He would not make anyone receive Christ as their Savior. It's your choice. Do you know him today? Can you think back to the time where you made a choice to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Not about going to church or joining a church or giving money. That has nothing to do with salvation. It's simply turning to the Savior. Say, I believe that you're the only way to heaven. Please save me. It's a choice, and it's a gift, and it's paid in full. You don't have to pay anything for it. You don't have to work for it, do anything good for it. You just receive it by believing your heart and by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus, when he heard it, said to them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. See, there's too many people that think I'm too good for God. I'm too good for God, so I'm too good, I can do it on my own. But God said, if you're whole, you have no need of the physician. You have no need of the Savior, but those that are sick. And those that say, God, I can't do it on my own, I trust in you. Do you know him today? Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, salvation is likened to our physical birth, just as we have a spiritual birth. Our physical birth happens at very one specific location and time and event where you put your faith in Jesus. But your salvation is the same. Can you remember the day that you got saved? Remember when you were a sinner on your way to hell? Realizing if you die without Christ in that moment, that hell would be your forever eternity. But you turned to the Savior and you prayed to God and said, God, please save me. Have you made that choice today? You say, you know, I've been thinking about it. What's there to think about? For a moment, if today was your last day, I'm not trying to scare anyone, and I'm not trying to do that at all, but one day will be our last day, right? One day we'll end our life here, we'll be in eternity. What if today was that day for you? Do you want a chance your eternity? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? I want to encourage you with this thought. Trust in Christ before it's too late. Trust in Christ before it's too late. I've been praying for you today. I don't know who needs a message today, and I don't know who's lost. But if you're lost, please trust in Christ today. Please don't leave without the Lord today. Don't put your faith in good works. Don't put your faith in saying a prayer. Don't put your faith in trusting in someone else's testimony. Don't put your faith in your religious upbringing. Don't put your faith in another day that you'll get saved. Put your faith in Jesus Christ today. Today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today. Not tomorrow, not another time. Today is that day of salvation, not another moment. Do you know Him today? Have you trusted in Him today? You say, I don't really remember what I did, and I don't really remember where I was, and you don't have to know the date, but I can remember my heart, the work that God did in my heart. I knew I was lost. I knew that I was on my way to hell. I knew if I didn't trust in Christ that I would spend eternity in a lake of fire, according to what the Word of God says. I know that's not exciting news today. It's not an uplifting, encouraging type of a message, but in heaven, if you trust in Christ, you will be thankful. You'll be so thankful that you trusted in Him. Do you know Him today? The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You want a know-so salvation, not a hope-so salvation, not I'm thinking about it and working on it. Do you know Him as your Savior today? You say, how could anyone really know that based on the Word of God? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That was a promise from God. It's not a promise from our church and our religion or denomination. That has nothing to do with it at all. It comes from God. Do you know Him today? If you don't know Him today, today is the day of salvation. In a moment, we're going to have a word of prayer. I'm not going to force anyone to come up. I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you in any way. But if you don't know the Lord today, I'm praying for you. We're praying for you. Head bowed and eyes closed, please. Lord, we need you today. We need you every day. But Lord, if there's one in this room that does not know you as their Savior, would you please help them to trust in you today? Help them to realize their sinful condition. Realize where the eternity will be without Christ. But then understand we have a loving God that died and shed His blood on the cross. It was in the grave for 3 days and rose again to be the full payment for salvation. Lord, if we'll just simply turn to You by faith and say, Lord, I believe, forgive my sin and take me to heaven. Lord, You offer and You give that gift of eternal life. How wonderful is that? I pray if there's anyone in the room today that does not know the Lord as your Savior, I ask you this. No one looking, please, a private moment. If you don't know the Lord today, I won't call you out. I won't call you forward. God, I pray for you. Would you slip your hand up and then put it down? Say, I don't know the Lord. I don't know where I'll spend eternity, but I'd like to know that today. Would you raise your hand? I see that hand today. Thank you. Is there another? I don't know the Lord, and I don't want to chance eternity on another day, another opportunity, on my works, on my religion, or anything. I want to know Him today. I don't want to hope so or think so. I want to know Him today. Is there another one today? We're praying for you. Do you know Him? Would you slip your hand up and then put it down?